Isn't this a sports show?
How good is it for us that part of our, like, aesthetic of this show is just, like, bad? It's just doing things poorly.
Almost entirely.
This show doesn't really skew impotent, as far as I can figure.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Yeah, I'm a big, dumb sports idiot.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
This game is so violent that the congratulatory butt smacks are aggressive. Put me straight to the engine reserve with a bruised butt cheek.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
And as always, if you would like to tell me to stick my head in the oven, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe or comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Just a whirlwind weekend. I was worried that the Chiefs are going to lose and then all of a sudden we were going to have nothing to talk about. That's not going to be the case today. If you're interested in KU and college basketball, we'll do a bunch of that probably starting at 5. We're going to talk about the NFL playoffs and the craziness last night, especially in just a little bit. Also, we have to talk about what it means to have Case Keenum, Nick Foles, and Blake Bortles being 3 of the 4 quarterbacks remaining at the end of the NFL season and what that doesn't mean about how you should construct a roster if you're an NFL GM or whatever. We also are going to talk about my least favorite coach in football, getting a contract extension. But first, we've got to talk about Bob Sutton. I'm gonna say, as a general rule of thumb, this show has a few rules. Beards is here today, all right, per usual. No terrible roads, no near-death experiences. He is wearing his hood up and a beanie under his hat.
It's cold outside,
because
man.
Because it is cold it's outside. Cold. It is cold outside.
Like, I went to Jason's to get lunch.
Jason's Deli.
Jason's Deli, not yeah. Jason's house.
Yes.
Very different.
Yes.
And I didn't have my gloves on. And yeah. I didn't have my cap on.
Yeah.
And coming out of there without being able to hold my hands in my pockets
yes.
was the worst thing ever.
So, I agree 100%. I just wore like a t-shirt and this jacket today. At one point this morning, by the way, the rules of this show are going to be so clearly made an example of within the first 2 minutes of the show here today.
We need to have an actual, like, a Ten Commandments list of rules.
Write that down.
Rule. Yeah, okay.
Write that down, please. Yes, you're right. Sorry, I'm interrupting your idea because I don't need to hear another syllable. You're right. We need that. But so I took a shower this morning because I do that every Monday. And just Mondays, though. It's my weekly shower. And whenever I went up to my room, it was kind of just like, it was just like a little too warm. So I actually opened my window. Not like I left the blind shut and everything. I wasn't trying to, you know, expose myself to the neighbors. Not this time, at least. But I cracked the window. And it was very pleasant. Whatever. Whenever I left the house, it felt like I was inside the snow miser. It was the absolute worst. And I've been suffering that since then. So that's why we started with Beards is in a beanie and a hoodie because it's cold outside. It is terrible. My car wouldn't start. I had to jump my car today.
Oof.
There have been 2 days so far this winter where I've had to ask for one of my roommates to come out and help me jump my car. Housemates, I guess. I don't share a room with 4 other people. Technically. But I'm guessing that today was the second coldest day of the winter.
It's not good.
Because it was the second day my car wouldn't start.
It's not good.
But the rules of this show, I think, in general, are the first commandment of Almost Entirely Sports is thou shalt abandon all pre-planned material in favor of the best possible radio show.
It's going to be a big tablet if this is the first one.
Well, we're going to edit it down later. The second commandment is thou shalt respect the nonsense. The third commandment, I think, is thou shalt talk Chiefs when there's any possible reason to. And so that's why we're starting today with Bob Sutton. After the nonsense. So, we have to talk about Bob Sutton, not because there's actual news today, but there's a little bit of news that I think you can at least turn into a tell.
The news is there's no news.
Well, there is some news that's even worse than no news.
Darn.
Because there is no news, but there's also some news. Sorry, I forgot that at the end of the Saints-Vikings game, the punter went out to play nose tackle on that two-point conversion kneel-down thing, and that was an incredible visual. Here's the thing about Bob Sutton. I'm not going to tell you that there's a 0% chance the Chiefs fire him, but I am going to tell you that today is the first business day in which I would formally guess that they're not going to make a move. I said on Friday that if there wasn't a movement over the weekend or by 5 o'clock on Monday, then I would be in that place, and I'm really close to that place currently. We're live right now at 4:08 p.m. Arrowhead time. But even more strangely, the Chiefs just hired a defensive quality controlled coach from Georgia. It's a super small move. He's going to be like a defensive back or linebacker assistant or something. And it's a very small move that most years would mean very little. But this doesn't seem like a move that you make right before you get rid of your defensive coordinator. Now, I guess there is a little precedent for this. Sorry for misspeaking. That's a first in this entire show. Why did I decide that was a time to apologize?
Retroactive apologies.
Yeah, for the last, I don't know, 6 months. But Bryce pointed out that on Twitter that he remembered the Chiefs hiring some sort of like salary cap specialist before firing John Dorsey last year, which I forgot about and is an interesting callback. But this is a guy who's going to work directly under Sutton and the position coaches. But more strangely, though, if they were to fire Bob Sutton, I'm pretty sure that a defensive coordinator would want to come in and then pick his own positional coaches, at least for most of these spots. So to hire an assistant to, whatever, the linebackers coach is really strange, because if a new defensive coordinator comes in, it seems like there's a very good chance that he would want to hire his own linebackers coach. So that gives me some significant pause. The Chiefs haven't fired Bob Sutton, and I am beginning to officially give up hope that they will move on from him at all. It's not impossible. It's not a 0% chance, but it feels very unlikely. I guess, in reality, I would wait until after the Super Bowl before I would give you that 0% number. Maybe Andy Reid has his eye on a positional coach from one of the teams still playing. That's not my expectation. It's certainly not my prediction, but it's worth mentioning, I suppose. But this quality control coach thing was just sort of another step in that direction of accepting that it's not going to happen. And somebody on Twitter said, well, listen, I don't want to come out here and just, you know, ask for a firing for the sake of firing a guy. You know, the Chiefs had plenty of personnel problems. They had plenty of execution problems. I don't know why you would think that Bob Sutton was the only, you know, firing Bob Sutton's not going to fix everything. And I've never been about fixing everything. I just think if I was in charge of a football organization, and we'll talk about this in a little bit as far as the quarterbacks and the playoffs and can you win a Super Bowl with an average or below average quarterback. My philosophy would be that we're never going to try to fix all problems with one move. Unless that move is drafting Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to work. You're going to have to improve your organization by degrees. You're going to have to improve your organization by improving your defense slightly with a new defensive coordinator, and then improving it slightly more with a new pass rusher, and then improving it slightly more with another cornerback. And if there's one thing that I've grown to despise is a strong word, but if there is one thing that I have grown to be very frustrated with in kind of the average Chiefs Twitter tweet, it's with the response of, well, you're not going to fix everything with this move. Darrelle Revis isn't going to come in and fix everything. When that's obviously never been the point. Again, if you have the mindset of only making the moves that could fix everything, then you would only draft, you would trade every asset you had to go draft quarterbacks in hopes that one of them would become Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, and then they would fix basically all of your problems. But even Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl. So I still wholeheartedly believe that even though this Chiefs defense does need some personnel upgrading, and that whenever the Chiefs trade Alex Smith, that most of that money that the Chiefs free up is going to go back into the defense. Whenever they cut Darrelle Revis, it's going to go back into the defense. Whenever they cut, perhaps, D. Ford, even from the defense, that money is going to go back into the defense. The Chiefs aren't going to have much money in their skill positions next year. They don't have to pay Kareem Hunt or Tyreek Hill very much. They don't have to pay Travis Kelce anymore. The offensive line has some money in it. But overall, this is going to be, I'm guessing, and this is, I suppose, guessing, and it's not doing all the math in the offensive line and Travis Kelce, but I'm guessing that this Chiefs offense next year is going to be one of the cheapest offenses in football. Right? Rookie quarterback. Maybe a veteran backup. Rookie contract quarterback. Rookie contract second-year running back. A couple of backups that are going to make reasonable money in Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West, but not crazy money. Maybe you let Anthony Sherman go, you're no longer paying a fullback. Rookie contract Tyreek Hill. Rookie contract DeMarcus Robinson. Rookie contract Jay Huchesson. Maybe you pay Albert Wilson. Maybe you go sign a free agent wide receiver. It's a pretty cheap offense. The defense is going to get the bulk of the free agent spending budget this year. But I would rather Jack Del Rio come in and use all of those pieces and to make some changes rather than to have Bob Sutton do it again. And it's not because Bob Sutton gives you a 0% chance to win a Super Bowl. And it's not because firing Bob Sutton would move you from a 20% chance to a 100% chance. But be a young coordinator from the Eagles or the Jags or the Vikings who comes in and ramps up your defensive attitude, or if it's a former head coach that needs another job like Jack Del Rio or Rex Ryan, the no longer available Mike Pettine. If one of those guys comes in, it's at least a new set of eyes, somebody evaluating this talent differently, willing, someone who's willing to adjust whenever playoff games are going poorly. I would be very much in favor of that, even as I admit that the personnel could use some upgrading, and will get some upgrading in Brett Veach's most important moves as a general manager. He already upgraded it with Kevin Pierre-Louis for DJ Alexander and bringing in Reggie Ragland. Those both improved this defense by a pretty sizable margin. He's got to keep doing it. So that's where I'm at right now. I don't think the Chiefs are going to fire Bob Sutton. And I think that's a mistake. Also, on ESPN right now is a Panera Bread commercial. And the Panera Bread commercial opened with them throwing a still in the plastic wrapping paper microwavable breakfast sandwich into a microwave. You unwrap those before you microwave them. That was an unnecessary does an unnecessary jab at the good folks at Jimmy Dean, who make the fuel that gets me through the first 6 hours of my day. That was slanderous. You don't microwave the like plastic wrap around a sandwich. Panera's a snob. How dare you, snobby Panera? Unless you want to sponsor the show, in which case I will sing the praises of your establishment for the rest of time.
Or as long as we keep getting the money.
Yeah, that. Yeah, that one. That was Beards is right. Speaking of terrible microwaved sandwiches, let's talk about the Tennessee Titans. The very same Tennessee Titans that defeated your and my Kansas City Chiefs in the first round of the NFL playoffs at home in Arrowhead.
Hashtag not my Chiefs.
It's pretty funny. That very same Titans team was on the bubble about firing head coach Mike Mularkey. Well, the bubble popped. Now, you may say, wait a second. He won a playoff game. I would say,
hey, wait a second. He won a playoff game.
That's right. You might say, hey, wait a second. Didn't the Titans say they were going to keep him around after winning that playoff game?
Hey, wait a second. Didn't the Titans say they were going to keep him around after winning the playoff game?
That is correct. We also heard that report. You might say, well, wait a second. What the hell's going on here?
What the hell's going on here?
That's a great question. What's going on here is that the Titans have fired head coach Mike Mularkey. There was a report before the Titans-Patriots game the Titans were going to retain Mularkey. Now they've split. So the Chiefs not only lost to a bad football team, they lost to a bad football team that was, I mean, at least kind of interested in just losing so they could obviously fire their head coach. They lost to a playoff team that was so thoroughly crushed by the Patriots that they then fired their head coach. They lost to a football team that had regressed so much from this year since last year that they ended up firing their head coach. And the Chiefs won't even fire their defensive coordinator. I do wonder, if you weren't watching the show on Facebook, which you can always do, you can go to the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page and watch the show. If you thought, oh, that was a weird sonic experience, or it sounded like the microphone was pretty far away from his face. He got way quiet, and then I heard the microphone kind of jostle, and it got louder again. It's because I had my head on my desk, and I was sort of talking into the desk, and the microphone was up by my head, kind of like it is here now. And then I pulled my microphone in so I could make a point. The point being that I do kind of wonder if the situations were flipped, if the Chiefs had regressing Marcus Mariota and if they had Mike Mularkey as their head coach and they had just beaten the Titans, I guess, at home after the Titans choked the game away like just a couple of absolute choking dogs. I wonder if Chiefs fans would be excited about this or if they'd be like, whoa, but he won a playoff game. Because the Titans have as much playoff shame as the Chiefs do, and vice versa. Like, winning a playoff game for the Titans is no terribly small feat. But I think the Titans did the right thing. You see your team regressing. You shouldn't reward that because your quarterback managed to throw a touchdown pass to himself against a team that only loses in the playoffs. Speaking of terrible head coaches in the AFC South, sorry, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. The Texans gave a contract extension to Bill O'Brien.
And I'm going to be sick. I'm just going to barf. I'm just going to barf all over the place. I could scream this next part, but there are other people working in this building, including maybe another live radio show.
I was just going to say, I could go look and see if they're live. Do you want to do that bit?
No, I'm just gonna say it in my depressed whisper voice instead of my screeching voice. Maybe next time.
Okay.
This Texans team was so bad without Deshaun Watson. And they were even talking about maybe firing Bill O'Brien. But their previous GM, Rick Smith, was like, he like took a leave of absinthe. Through absinthe? Not a leave of absinthe. This decision makes me want to take a leave of absinthe. Their GM took a leave of absence to like care for his wife who has breast cancer or something terrible. And so the Texans brought in a new general manager. So Bill O'Brien won the, like, it's either him or me ultimatum. And so now the Texans have a new GM. Bill O'Brien has a contract extension. And somehow, through some sick, twisted mystery of this blasted universe, the success of Deshaun Watson has somehow been attributed to the head coach that needed to see 30 minutes of Tom Savage before ultimately going to him. I want to barf. The GM that picked Deshaun Watson isn't even the general manager anymore. The guy who got the contract extension is the one who saw Deshaun Watson throughout practice and throughout training camp and said, no, thank you. I would rather have Tom Savage. Until he saw Tom Savage play for 30 minutes. And then he went back to Deshaun Watson. Because much to Bill O'Brien's surprise, Tom Savage is a bad quarterback. And I've tweeted about this, and eventually I think some Texans fan tweeted me. It was like, well, why would you fire Bill O'Brien? They looked really good with Deshaun Watson. Because it's not about being good enough to make the playoffs or to win one playoff game. It's about maximizing your chances and having the best people you can have in the situations. Deshaun Watson looked pretty darn good. Why not go try to find him a head coach that will understand that? And the Texans are going to have success. Please hear me say this, because I'm going to need you to be a witness for this whenever the Texans win a Super Bowl in 3 years.
Okay.
I'm not saying the Texans aren't going to have success while Bill O'Brien is there. The Packers won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. But we're going to look back on the career of Aaron Rodgers and go, oh my goodness, how did he only win one Super Bowl in that dozen-year-long stretch? And we're going to look back, and I'm going to whisper, McCarthy. And that's what we're looking at here. You've got a guy who does not, didn't create anything. I know they had lots of injuries, and I know that his hands are tied. But you have a guy that didn't do anything outside of what Deshaun Watson did. And so this is the guy you want to tie the first 5 years of Deshaun Watson to. It's Bill O'Brien. I would be sick to my stomach if I was a Texans fan today. And again, they'll have some success. But NFL teams get scared like that. They see that they're going to have some success, and they go, ah, you know what? No, it's fine. Let's have some success instead of aiming for the thing that's going to give us a better chance at real success. But NFL owners and GMs and coaches are cowards, like 95% of the time. I'm so freaking mad. I'm really upset. I don't know why Kevin hits the desk so much. Can you hear that through the microphone?
Yeah, I can hear. Just every once in a while, there's stuff.
And for me, like, it shakes the desk in here. Like, the desks aren't connected through the wall or anything, but we're very close. We're, like, back-to-back, basically. And whenever he hits the desk hard enough that it, like, shakes through the desk in here.
It's that solid craftsmanship that we have.
This desk is made out of balsa wood and fake marble, for sure. This whole station's made out of balsa wood. This whole station is made out of those, the thing, did you ever get one of those, like those little, like, make-it-yourself, like, little balsa wood airplanes you just, like, throw off your back deck or whatever
and see how far. Yeah.
This whole station is made out of that wood.
The kind that snaps
while
still in the package?
Yes. Yeah. It's like half balsa wood, like, half, like, cotton.
Also, the roof's not attached.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, the roof's not attached.
I don't know how that works, honestly. I'm not a architect. Seems like poor design.
Seems like a bad idea. I think it's for tornadoes.
So the tornado can just get in?
Yeah.
So the tornado doesn't have to tear the roof off to get inside. It just sort of comes through the gap and comes in and hangs out, hosts a radio show.
Yeah.
Does its own podcast.
It's full of hot air. Has a lot to say.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Good work, Beards.
Solid joke.
All right. I mean, I guess we can just end the show now, right?
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
If people only heard the liners to this show, they would think we're doing such a good show.
With Joshua Briscoe.
They'd be stupidly wrong.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Danica Patrick confirms she is dating boyfriend Aaron Rodgers after her ex-boyfriend declined to propose after 5 years. Changes fandom from Bears to Packers. The fandom thing, I think, is understandable. You can't root for a rival of your boyfriend. And I don't mean a rival of the team that your boyfriend roots for. That's fine. I think if you're an adult, you can get over that.
They have NFL commercials based on that, like with the Chiefs fans at
right,
the Christmas
table
and the Raiders guy with the light-up sweater.
Although that commercial doesn't make it seem all that possible. But yes, exactly. But I don't think you can be sitting there, you know, sitting in the stands for a Packers-Bears game, and Danica Patrick is just yelling, like, God, kill him! Like, oh, no, wait, no, never mind. No, I love him! Don't hurt him!
Or she gets, like, a Bears jersey made with Aaron Rodgers' name and number on it.
Oh, that would be brutal.
Yeah, I'm trying to play the fence as much as I can.
Yeah, no.
Kill him!
Right, you can't. Yeah, you can't cheer for your boyfriend to be murdered by a 300-pound nose tackle. It's just, that's an unhealthy relationship.
Or cheering when he goes out of the game because he got murdered.
Right. Woo! You broke my boyfriend's arm. Let's see. Oh, God, I've already forgot. Brett Hundley. There we go. The second that Brett Hundley was no longer relevant to the NFL season, I deleted his name from my consciousness. That was incredible. I like, had to stop and go, Brett Hundley? Hundley, aha. Boy, I wish I knew another underachieving race car driver so I could say that he or she was now dating Brett Hundley. But I really don't have one. Like, it's such a good...
Are there others?
The only
NASCAR drivers?
I don't know. The only NASCAR drivers I know are, like, successful ones. Mm. I mean, I could make a joke about Casey Kane, but I feel like he's won some things. Can I get some music for trying to find underachieving NASCAR... Or, I guess... Yeah, underachieving drivers at all? I feel like no one's ever searched the phrase NASCAR's underachieving NASCAR drivers. The Bleacher Report has an article about the 10 biggest underachievers of the season at break from 2012. Oh, the first one is Casey Kane. Oh, okay, hold on. I think I've got it. All right, go ahead. You can kill this. I think I got it. Danica Patrick is now dating Aaron Rodgers, and A.J. Allmendinger has reported that he is, in fact, pursuing Brett Hundley.
That's the last name.
It's a good last name for a joke, right?
It is.
Doesn't A.J. Allmendinger sound like a guy that just isn't crushing it?
I think that's the only person I've ever heard with the last name of
Allmendinger. It does sound like a stage name for a NASCAR driver.
Are you saying NASCAR's not real? It's fake?
No, I will never say that. The Racing Boys will come out of the ceiling tiles here and kill me. Like, Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane, A.J. Allmendinger, those are some damn good alliteration names. Also, side note, I just realized what I was implying there. Man, it would be awesome if NASCAR had the first, high-profile, openly gay athlete in America. How crazy good would that be? I'm going to start saying NASCAR drivers that I'm sure are married with wives and children or whatever. I don't mean to tell you that I secretly think that Clint Bowyer would prefer to be with a man. I do not know any of that. But how great would it be if all of a sudden, I know like five NASCAR drivers, I'm sorry. How great would it be if Clint Bowyer was all of a sudden at the front of social change by being an openly gay athlete in NASCAR? Like, I feel like that could create some actual... I feel like that could really do. Like, I feel like for a portion of people, it might be the first time that they'd ever been like, I've met a gay person now, heard of one in my real life. Can I get some music for trying to find out if Clint Bowyer is married with children? Because I feel like I really shouldn't have done that to Clint Bowyer specifically. I don't want to. Yep, married with two kids. So. Clint Bowyer probably wasn't the perfect example for me to go with. I've probably upset somebody, right? By inferring that NASCAR fans have never seen a gay person.
I think you could say anything about anything and it would upset somebody.
That's probably true.
It's that high squeaky voice.
Also, just while we're in this space, accidentally offending NASCAR fans, which really wasn't my point. It's pretty wild for NASCAR to have, I think 43 cars in every race, something around that. And I'm pretty sure that just none of them are anything other than white. I feel like that gives me a little bit of leeway to make a little fun of NASCAR, right? I think I'm good. Beards wants a no part of this.
I'm watching basketball.
What do you mean you're watching basketball?
Martin Luther King Day, they got basketball on all day.
Wow, okay, so speaking of just trampling over some racial sports lines, what do you mean it's what do you mean it's Martin Luther King Day, they have basketball on all day?
They've got basketball on all day for Martin Luther King Day. They do it every year.
Really?
Yeah, there's 10 games on.
That's a thing?
Yeah, they had the end of the Spurs-Hawks game on here a couple minutes ago, and now I'm just watching highlights of Toronto and Philly. Cavs-Warriors is tonight.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Is it at Golden State? I don't care that much. If you don't know that, I don't want to know.
Well, now I'm going to look.
Turn off your mic. The damn wind tunnel in there is buzzing through my headphones.
No, it's in Cleveland.
Oh, good. Okay. Cleveland's going to lose. Is Curry still out?
Yes, I believe so.
How do you not know this?
Because it changes.
Every 45 seconds?
Feels like it.
Turn off your mic. Beards, the wind tunnel is the worst sound I've ever heard. I want to talk about the NFL playoffs. Either Case Keenum or Nick Foles is going to play in the Super Bowl. Oh, no, now Charlie's showing something to Beards on his phone. What are you showing? Please, just let me be involved. I just want to be a part of whatever fun you're having.
You want to be a part of a burning hotel in Lawrence?
What?
Yeah. Apparently that's happening.
What's the story?
Yeah. There's a hotel on fire in Lawrence.
Some news station is live in Lawrence with this massive hotel that's just on fire, the whole thing. Crazy.
Is that the story you want, the fun you want to be a part of?
But we might as well go ahead and take this opportunity to reset. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about the NFL playoffs, unless there's a burning hotel that takes precedence over it, or unless Beards wants to talk about the NBA games on today, or unless I find out that there's another NASCAR driver that I've learned during the break that I want to talk about. Honestly, we have several options.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Alex Smith, by underthrowing that ball, turned a touchdown into a 50-50 ball.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And every time that happens this season, I'm going to pluck an eyelash out and just sacrifice to the eyelash gods. Because I guess that's the problem here. I don't know where I was going with that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
The good news is I didn't have to pluck out many eyelashes this year. Alex Smith did a pretty good job with the deep balls. We're also sitting here on January 15th. Talking about a team that has been eliminated from the playoffs for a week now. So,
offseason's going to be fun.
Yeah, like I have, you know, my Google Doc notes that I put together each week and just kind of move stuff around as we go. And there's already a huge section, like I was going to talk about bad quarterback play today and then how that translates to playoff wins and everything. And I'll probably just do it tomorrow. Because the offseason's going to be endless. The good news is, like, we have a lot of things to talk about, which is great. But, man, especially in, like June. Oof. Whenever I was just doing... I was doing the Roughing the Kicker podcast once a week throughout the offseason before I started doing daily radio or even doing Sports Sunday on 810. And... I remember spending one full, like, 40-45 minute show just on Zach Fulton. I'm just like, why? Like, that was the most important thing in that episode was about why I think that Zach Fulton could develop into a real player. By the way, I was right. I was right about Zach Fulton. But that was the, the premise of a June or July episode. Between, like, the draft and training camp, and it was brutal. Yeah, perfect. Yes, I was right about Zach Fulton. Kiss my feet.
Charlie just said you sound like a chicken in that.
Play it again. I get it. I know why you said that. I don't think I sound more like a chicken than I do like a trumpet. I could do a chicken version of it, I'm sure. But I'm not gonna. Anyway, the playoff games this weekend were crazy. I mean, the Patriots-Titans one stunk, but we saw that one coming because the Titans are a bad football team that only beats other bad football teams.
Tell us who you're really angry at there, Josh.
That's a great follow-up point. Saints-Vikings last night was amazing, though. And I've been wrong about everything so far in these playoffs, but I am completely in on rooting for the Vikings at this point. And I think they have the best chance at beating the Patriots out of any of these teams left. One interesting conversation, I think, though, goes around what's being put around Case Keenum. Because I think if I asked fans, would you rather have Case Keenum or Alex Smith, I think the majority of fans would say they'd rather have Alex Smith. I would. But I also asked in a poll, I said, who would you rather have, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Kyle Rudolph, or Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt? Now, I know that my follower base is definitely Chiefs biased, but I also would think that at this point, if you see where I'm going with this question at all, you would want to insinuate that Alex Smith was working with less weapons than the Vikings were. So, whatever. Regardless of my following, 92% of people said they prefer the Chiefs 3 over the Vikings 3, which is an unbelievably lopsided poll. But do you see what that insinuates? Now, I know that you could argue that the Vikings are deeper, perhaps. But Travis Kelce is 1,000 miles better than Kyle Rudolph. I think Tyreek Hill could be used like Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen when in a proper offense. And I think Kareem Hunt is a force at running back that the Vikings don't have after losing Dalvin Cook. Regardless, I think it's very close. I think the Kelce over Rudolph advantage is gigantic. Diggs over Hill is very, very, very slim. And Thielen over Hunt is a decent margin, but not as large a margin as Kelce over Rudolph. And you can whatever, split hairs, wherever you want. My point being, I think it's at least very close, right? Is the Vikings' offensive line so much better that that's the point? Or is Case Keenum a better quarterback than Alex Smith? The Vikings' defense is certainly better than the Chiefs' defense. We've talked about that plenty. But is that the difference here? Specifically with the offense, outside of those top skill guys, you're either putting responsibility on the quarterback or the offensive line. The Vikings' offensive line can be better, but not explaining how they're this much better. And I know that the Vikings are going to the NFC Championship game on a miracle and on a poorly played ball by the Saints defensive back. I know, it's all very, very close. But the Vikings have been better all year. The Vikings were the one seed in the NFC with their third string quarterback without their number one running back. They are a legitimate Super Bowl threat. With Case Keenum being surrounded by guys at least comparable to the Chiefs' three best skill players. I think that means something. So that game was tremendous. Also, Marcus Peters was tweeting about how that Saints defensive back needed some milk, about saying how he went at it with his eyes closed. And I think you all need to appreciate Marcus Peters more. And also appreciate the fact that Marcus Peters would not have let that play happen, in case you were wondering. Jags-Steelers, don't get me wrong, I am very happy to see the Steelers suffering the national shame they usually bestow upon the Chiefs, but I am extremely uncomfortable with Blake Bortles starting an AFC Championship game. I hate that idea, and it's going to happen next week. Also, the Patriots are going to get to the Super Bowl after a bye week and then two games against AFC South teams, which makes me sick. Also, after the game, Terry Bradshaw called Blake Bortles' 214-yard performance, quote, phenomenal. And I am legitimately angry.
Are we comparing on the Blake Bortles scale?
This is the thing. I don't get angry about many things. I am angry about the Blake Bortles scale. Because you've got people saying, oh, that 214-yard performance was phenomenal. No, it's phenomenal because he didn't throw you straight down the sewer. I hate the Blake Bortles scale.
Phenomenal for him. They just never finish their sentences.
But that's the thing, is they don't finish their sentences. They just praise Blake Bortles as if he's doing something extraordinary, when the most extraordinary thing he's doing is not actively throwing the game away. And I like Jacksonville's attitude a lot. I'd love for New England and Pittsburgh to fall in the same playoff. But if Bortles makes the Super Bowl, there is going to fuel so many stupid sports arguments for the next 20 years. Which, by the way, is something we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk about these terrible arguments about bad quarterbacks winning Super Bowls or not. Falcons and Eagles, Nick Foles versus Case Keenum sounds more like a bad Thursday night football game than it does an NFC Championship game, but it's going to happen, so get stoked for that one. The Falcons were beaten by a better team, even though it had Nick Foles. Titans and Patriots, again, one more time, just a reminder. The Patriots' path to the Super Bowl this year is going through two home games against the third and fourth best quarterbacks in the AFC South. Think about that. Bye week, Mariota, Blake Bortles. Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck are on IR and probably would have had a better chance against the Patriots last weekend.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.